Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
UMFM. This is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Elson, kicking things off for us from his forthcoming record, We Were Born Here, What's Your Excuse? That's The Secret Beach with LA Haircut, a.k.a. Micah Ehrenberg, past guest here on the show. That album getting its release at the Times Changed on August 1st. Zune and Skinny Dick playing as well. Put that one on your schedule. Also playing at The Leaf at the end of August, August 31st, and that one should be an interesting venue. You can go to thesecretbeach.ca for show ticket information. We're going to keep it on a local tip for a little while here. We've got an interview with Natalie and Eric from the group Slow Spirit, whose new album, That's the Gods Talking, is out today. They both made a pick. We'll play that. But before we get to that, Boy Golden's new album, For Eden, just dropped on Six Shooter. Liam from the group produced, or rather co-produced, the Slow Spirit record. So a fitting lead-in. We're going to hear Here to Stay. It's the lead-off track from Boy Golden's For Eden. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
I'm gonna face my demons, even if it breaks my legs. Even if it breaks my spirit, walking around downtown all day. We all got our own reasons, all got bills to pay. One day, son, you'll get it straight and you won't have to walk this way. Wake up and place your bets. Wake up and wait in line. One day you'll pay off all your debt. I know it ain't the time. Changing with the seasons, going it all alone. I got friends and when I see them, it feels like coming home. Yes, it does. Grab a drink, come on by. Place your bets and get in line. Even losers get to try from time to time. Get it right. Ain't that a sweet thought? Sweetheart, I ain't one to lie. Myself a place off a highway 5 mountain road someday, but not today. Find myself some peace of mind just behind my eyes. There's a bluebird waiting to sing her song, and I'm gonna let her fly. Let her fly. Well, I used to let her out at night when everyone's asleep. In my dreams, it's broad daylight, and I let her kiss my cheek. Never thought I'd be the man that I am today. Hey, here I am, despite my plans, I think I'm here to stay.
That's The Gods Talking, the new album from Slow Spirit, out today. Natalie and Eric from the band joining me to discuss it. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So I want to talk about how much discussion do you have going into the studio when you're about to record about kind of like I wouldn't say pre-production, but like what you're hoping to achieve sonically?
I would say we don't have a whole lot, honestly. Natalie and I approach making art together very intuitively. We live together, we spend a lot of time together, and we learn a lot about each other just through that, through listening to music together and just talking about making stuff constantly. So I think when it comes time to recording, making a more like permanent record of our art, that's just a natural extension of that process.
When you say listen to music together constantly, like listen to other people's music or listen to your own music when you're like creating?
Or both? We listen to other people's music is kind of what I mean. Like just like, okay. As, you know, like as listeners, we listen to a lot of the same music. So.
Yeah. And I would say also on the same coin that we do like make a lot of music also around the house, and like, most of the songs from this record come from a time when we were doing song every week, which is something I was running in those years before we made this record. Haven't done it in a little while, but it's one of my favorite ways to make music. Basically, you just like have a deadline every week and a group of people all trying to meet this deadline to make a song. So that's just part of your weekly routine is to make songs. And I feel like a lot of these songs came from that time. Just this like is, you got to make this happen before bed. You know, you have to, before you get into bed tonight, you have to just like record something.
I've talked to others who've participated in those kind of activities. Is it the like negation of preciousness, like that you can't like hold on to something and like polish and polish and polish, that you just have to like be like, okay, I'm done with this at a certain point.
Absolutely.
It's a really important like lesson that we've been learning through that process, is that like you only have so much control over what you're gonna discover and what you're gonna try to polish up and turn into something. Like, you know, you're stepping into the stream of this sort of like ephemeral creativity that is around all the time, and you can choose to tap into it. And this is like just you're getting practiced and stepping into that, tapping into it, and accepting what comes and letting go of what didn't, like your expectations of like what you want to come but just didn't come. And also just like accepting your flaws throughout that process too, because you make something really quickly because of the deadline. And say you might even do like some production where you add a few extra instruments just to see what it would be like to like fill out the arrangement. And you only do like one pass and you're like, oh, I missed that one section. But then you listen to it again a month later after you've had a little space from it, and you're like, oh, that's really nice. Like, I actually kind of like how I maybe didn't quite get to where I was hoping I would get to, but I like wound up, I've like found myself in this other place that was really beautiful also.
Allowing yourself kind of the space under a deadline to like make mistakes, or what seemed like a mistake in the moment, allowing it to just be what it is.
Totally. Yeah, this can become like your signature. That can become like your favorite parts are the things that just sort of the raggedy edges.
And it was a very helpful, it's been very helpful kind of getting used to this when we went to record with Liam Duncan on this record to his Tascam 388 like 8-track tape machine, where you are kind of forced to, like, within those limitations where you do have to kind of commit to decisions. You know, you get to the end of a take and you have to decide, like, can I do it better than the last one, or should I stop now because there was like a lot of really good stuff in that that I want to keep.
Is that notion of like the law of diminishing returns at a certain point? Like, you're just gonna
Yeah,
keep taking.
100%.
Yeah. So you mentioned Liam. You also worked with Matt Foster on it. The decision to work with the two of them on this record, like friendships or relationships that you already had, or was there something that they'd done that you wanted to enlist them to kind of help you do?
Yeah, I would say friendship played a huge role in that, and just feeling like just knowing that it was you could trust them to be in the studio and like make a great record with you. Just vibes wise, you know, such great
Yeah,
friends
we
and
can
characters.
honest, we can actually a attribute the credit to Jen Dirksen to kind of setting the whole thing up. We were all standing around a fire, minus Liam. It was Jen, Matt, Natalie, and I standing around a fire, and we were talking about how we were gonna record these songs. And Jen was like, "Maybe you should record them with my pal Liam." And we're like, "We're also pals with Liam. That would be great." And it kind of just coalesced very quickly. Like, we had these songs and we were striving for like a more like kind of like scrappy poppy, like bedroomy sort of bedroom pop sort of approach with these songs. We wanted them to be short and like cut to the chase. And I feel like those are all things that Liam does really well within his own music. So we were like, oh yeah, that would actually be perfect.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when the dream of doing a record on tape happened, or if that was something that we weren't like seeking Liam out because he records to tape, but it's just like part of his process that he finds really, really inspiring and helpful. Because yeah, like we were saying, like with tape, you do a take and you either keep that take or you throw it out and do another one. You can't just like keep piling on, you can't just like retain the eight takes or whatever. You just have to keep making the decision each time. Is this better than what I could I play this better than what I just did? Because if so, then I have to throw it out and do it again. So often you say good enough, you know, which helps speed things up so much.
Does that tap into kind of the same approach you have to do live, where like you don't get a do-over, right? Like when you're performing one of these songs live, that you just kind of have to live with it.
Sort of. I mean, there is still that decision at the end of a take. But also having Matt around in the room and Liam, they're just such like good, positive people who would be so encouraging after you did something. It was such like a warm and like supportive environment to be making this album in that like we would get to the end of a take and people were just stoked. Like in a way that like I've never felt in a recording environment before, where I was like, oh yeah, this is like awesome what we're doing. And like, I mean, I might sound like a bit conceited or something, but it just like everyone was just like throwing the love around and it felt really good. And it moved along really quickly because of that as well. Like it was very productive, which is something you also want from a recording session. You don't want to feel like stuck or like you're like dwelling on things. You just kind of want it to feel like you're in the flow, and everyone was helping with that in their own way, which is really nice.
That sounds less conceited and more satisfied, I would say.
Yeah, probably.
Eric, you mentioned, the like kind of decision to make like a more like short, snappy kind of pop approach to song craft on this one. How much thought did you give to kind of like space on songs? And I ask this because particularly like one of the first songs that you've released is Out of Body Experience. And there does seem to be kind of like an openness to that song, even though it's quick. That like, is that tapping into something? Were you approaching it that way and like intentional about that, or did that just kind of come out based on what happened in the room with Liam and Matt?
I would say working with an 8-track tape machine does impose some limitations where you kind of know what the fullness, like the extent of how full you can make something is going to be, which means that you're going to start with less often. So like I think what you're referring to is how that song starts just with like a rim click acoustic guitar and two vocals, and it has a certain airiness to it. And that we wanted to really strip out a lot of the excess that we would sometimes get tempted into in this like digital age when you can kind of add infinitely. We wanted to like really focus on the core of what the song is and to just stay out of the way of the song. And I do think that like in the past I've listened to some of our albums and thought like, oh wow, there's a lot of vocals on this. Like I wish there was an instrumental section or something like that. And I do think that there's a little bit more of that with this record. But also, just because there's like a little bit less overall, I think that you kind of get the same feeling. You get what I was missing, which was like just, yeah, like you're saying, more space, more air, more breathing room.
Yeah, and it's not like we don't like the like amazing multi-tracking that can be done. Like our last record we made with Matt Peters and Matt Schellenberg, the like Deadmen. And obviously those guys are multi-tracking wizards and we had so much fun making such huge, incredible arrangements. But that's again just the limitations of the 8-track tape recording, process. Like you have only 8 tracks and that's it. There's some ways that you can sum things down and get more than 8 things happening at once, but that's kind of, the limitation is there and it's helpful.
Now, you were saying before about the songs kind of coming out of that, the songwriting process. How did you go about kind of just sifting through the songs that you'd made and decide like which ones made the record?
Oh yeah. Yeah, just like a long time, maybe like a couple months of just listening to the pile of demos that you just amass over time. I remember we had some songs that we had thought we were going to record at the session that we never did, like right up until the session, there were demos that were potentials for this record, and we if we had had more time, we would have gotten around to them, I think. So I don't know, that decision just sort of happens naturally. I think some songs really do shine right away. They stick out and they're like, oh, this is definitely something that should go on the record. Yeah, I don't know. There is kind of an inevitable quality to some of those songs.
I was picking raspberries the other day, and I promise this relates. And with every raspberry that you go to reach to pull off of, you can sense whether it's ready to come off. You like there's the ones in like the ones that are a bit pink still, and they like are holding on a bit more, and you're like, oh, that one's not ready yet. And then some of them, you're like, oh, that looks amazing. I want that raspberry. And then you go and it crumbles in your hand because it's been on there too long. And I think that there's a similar process that happens when you relate to your songs, and like you don't even notice sometimes, but some of them get old and you lose interest in them. They overripen, and then other ones aren't quite ready yet. And you kind of, what was nice about this recording process is that we didn't have too much of a plan, but it was still like a set time in the studio. Like we've also made studio records at home where we're just making songs all the time, and then we get to a certain point and we're like, hey, what, maybe we should make a record out of these songs. And we've also gone into a studio where we had like 2 days to make the record, and we like had to just like be very prepared and methodical about the whole process. But this was a nice in between where we had enough time, and like the flow was happening, there was an efficiency to it, and we could kind of like take a little morning to be like, what if we tried this song, and like maybe we would just play it sitting on the deck, trying out some different approaches, like vibes with it, and then we would find something that we liked, and we're like, hey, let's go lay this down. And it was really cool that way, where there were like some things that we weren't expecting to do that just happened because they felt like they were ready to come off of the plant at that point, like they were ready to be picked.
It's crazy to think about how the way that you plan to structure your studio time is has like a bigger effect than many of the, the gear, the songs, just like, are you able to be in the studio and have a moment? Did you build in that time in the calendar to just like sit and have like a an hour or two in the morning to think about what you want to do next, rather than like, we only have 2 days and we have 18 songs we want to do, and we have to have brought them ready, which is what we've done previously.
So maybe that's the important space, not necessarily like the sonic space that you're creating, but the like space that you allow yourself psychologically.
Yeah. And the team of people you have around you to help you shape those decisions.
Yeah, it was a beautiful balance of like the pressure of this is the time that we've set aside to do this, but also everyone is so chill that there's also that space for the for things to happen that we weren't expecting to happen.
Yeah, and the tape player really sets the limitation of like, you can't work on this. You can't add 100 things to this song. It's you record it and it's done, and you can move on to the next thing.
The decision to name the album after the like the title track, what led to that?
Can I tell
Yeah.
the story? Okay. We were actually, we went on like a little hot vacation this last winter, and we were sitting on a beach, not to brag, with our pal Chris Ulrich. And we were like, Chris, we're trying to figure out a name for our record. And we threw Chris like a couple of different names that we were thinking about. And Chris was like, I think you should name it That's the God's Talking. And Chris also happened to be the person who unknowingly at this time, at this point, named, like coined the term That's the God's Talking. It was a something that he had said sitting around a fire where we were all just hanging out, and Natalie was talking about how she was trying to just make a big decision in her life. Like, should I quit this job and take this other opportunity? And like, it just kind of feels like the decision is being made for me. And Chris said, yeah, that's the God's talking. And I was like, oh, I've never heard that before. That's really interesting. And then went home and wrote a song about it. And so for Chris to like then come back and be like, you should call it that's a God's talking without knowing that he had actually coined that term, it was like, this is kind of perfect. And it is also just, I feel like it encapsulates so much of the lyrical content on the album. There's this sense of like, there feels like there's this other force in your life sometimes that is out of your control, that has this influence on, that's like pushing and pulling you in different directions. And we don't necessarily know if there's a God or there are gods, many gods or whatever, but that's sort of like a term that stands in for us at least, for that feeling of this ephemeral force in our lives.
Yeah, I feel like that's the God talking to me is about just a way, a kind of an off the cuff way of just noting this like invisible force at work in human lives of creativity and all this amazing power that we have as human beings with our imaginations to create the like things we want to see in our own worlds. It was just kind of a kind of like fairy tale or mythical way of saying that.
And this album is something that we just wanted to see in the world, and that we did. We just kind of brought into existence because it delights us and it interests us, and that is like rewarding. That's a, for us at least, it's a rewarding way to spend our time, is to like make music. And yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's out in the world now. Before we go, I want to get each to pick a track off of the record that we can play for listeners. And if you have a reason why you're picking it or an anecdote about it, I'd love to hear that.
Wow, that's so fun. What a great idea. What would you like to hear, Eric?
Well, I think we should definitely listen to That's the God's Talking.
That makes sense. 'Cause that just came out today. That's like the single that's being released as
It's
well.
the focus track. It's
The
the one.
focus
It's also
track.
the title track. It's a great song to listen to today. I think it's such a good vibe, the song. We really like, we got very lucky with the feeling of the song that I'm very excited and proud of to share with everyone.
I think I would choose, just off the top of my head, I feel like Angeline would be a great choice. Not a single, but I'm wondering like why it's not a single. We just shot a music video with my sister, who is a contemporary dancer here in the city with the Winnipeg Contemporary Dancers, and is an incredible creative force as well. We shot a video with her like late at night at a rapid transit bus stop. And I think it's turned out really beautifully, and I'm really excited to share it soon, later. Yeah, Angeline.
You mentioned that not being a single, and Eric, you mentioned, That's the God Talking being the new focus track. What goes into making a decision around those kinds of things?
Oh, yeah, so many. Just, asking lots of people who've heard the record, like our friends that we've bounced the record off of. It's a really hard decision. I think there's lots of songs on this record that also could have been singles.
Yeah, we definitely approached every song with the intention of it being somewhat single worthy, which makes it hard to decide afterwards. But yeah, like Nelly was saying, getting lots of input from more objective
Outside ears.
ears, and also that gut feeling that you kind of just have to approach everything with this like art thing with, is like, how does it make me feel? And I think we made the right choice, but I'm really excited for people to get to hear everything now. One of my favorite parts of releasing an album is giving, like, after people have had a time, some time to listen to it, for them to like tell me what their favorite song was, because it tells me so much about that person that, like it's this adds to our relationship in a way that like nothing else really can. I made this thing and it resonated with you, this specific thing, and that tells me something about this person in like a way that I just get so tickled by. I'm like, so yeah, I'm excited for
Nice.
people to get a chance to listen to the whole thing, and find their own favorite songs now.
Yeah, totally.
It's the That's the Gods Talking litmus test of some sort.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll give That's the Gods Talking and Angeline a listen. Natalie and Eric, thanks very much for taking some time and congratulations on the release of the record.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. It's so great to do this.
Thank you, Michael.
That's the gods talking. He said, sitting around the fire. Whipping our heads. That's the gods talking. He shrugged, cracking another old Milwaukee. Heavy clouds hanging above. Call out your
back here on Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. Right before the break, Wonder with a new single called Invisible Man, that local act made up of a whole bunch of folks from a bunch of other bands, Micah Braun, Nate Jacobucci, Joey Penner, and Steve Martins. It's been a minute since we've heard from them. Also been a minute since we've heard from Dog Day. They have a new record out called A T-Shirt with Writing on It. We heard Never Dies. And before that, we heard Slow Spirit. My thanks to Natalie and Eric for their time. That's the God Talking album is out today. No plans as of yet for a release show, but keep your eyes peeled on their socials for what they're up to. Gonna switch it up a bit here. We're gonna get into some more R&B, some jazz, some electronic stuff as we move towards After Eight Radio. Earlier this week, I came across this artist on Bandcamp. Marizia Osu has a forthcoming record called Harps, Beats, and Dreams. As soon as I saw harp and beats in the title, I was like, I got to check this out. I am a big fan of things like Amanda Whiting and Brandy Younger and folks using harp in contemporary ways. I'm going to play you the lead-off single, Sea Time. Then Reservoir, the great Chicago group, dropped a live performance of the love theme from Spartacus, one of my favorite songs of all time. We've got something new from Morning A Blackstar. The Cleveland Afro Jazz Collective have a new record out called Ancient Future. Going to play you one of my favorite tracks. Local artist Zena Nova. We've got Demai, a UK R&B singer who I discovered on Giles Peterson's show. Some classic cuts. We got Posey and Garfield Fleming, amongst some others. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM. We'll be back here on Thank God It's Free Range next Friday night.
loved you harder than you loved yourself. I made a space for your mental health.
Pick your demise, watch your management.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Sentient beings on the rise again.
You don't trust, but you know the truth. I am the blame, but you are the root. Asking you to run away. Cause baby, ain't no changing me.
Ain't no changing me. Ain't no changing me.
No.
I don't know what I drank. It was red, but I guess it get a double fret. I'm one of one whose life have I been chasing. This time I'll claim it. Go.
I'm make it to the top. See them running for the top. And everybody's on it. They want to make it to the top. See them running for the top. And everybody's on it. Make it to the top, you pull. That T.O.P. mentality. Them not the quitter, tell you to make it to the top, you pull. That T.O.P. mentality, yeah. Capitalist imperialist. We put them nice things over we brothers. We sick boy. We sick boy. We put them nice things over we sisters. We sick boy. We sick boy. People get killed every day. We sick boy. I day on that B.O.T. People overthink. I day on that B.O.T. I say people overthink. But the healing we need it. 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 The healing we need. The one make it to the them not a quitter, tell you to make it to the top, you boo. That T.O.P. mentality, yeah. Capitalist, they be released. They want more land, they want more water, they want more oil, the gold and the silver.